Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a few moments. But I felt led of the Lord to start this broadcast with an exhortation, because there is something that many of us are not doing on a regular basis, and that is memorizing the Word of God. And if there's one thing preserved in the text of Scripture, it's the injunction to record God's words upon the tablet of our heart. Moses exhorts the people of God to impress the words of God upon the tablet of their consciousness. Impress them on your children, says Moses. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Above all, exhorted Moses, do not forget. And of course, Moses was not alone. Think Solomon. When he prayed for a wise and discerning heart, he also was given the discernment to tell his hearers to bind the Word of God around their fingers and their necks and to write it on the tablet of their hearts. And I suppose more poignantly yet, the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ entreated hearers, let these words sink into your ears. Or I think of Joshua, the Jesus of the Old Testament. He beseeched the people of the promise, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. It's not enough to record the sayings of understanding on a common tablet. It is to be inscribed upon the tablet of one's consciousness. And again, this is one of the reasons that I've written all of my books in an inherently memorable way, all of them forged around acronyms, so that you might not only remember but recall the information. In other words, be able to use it to make a difference while there is yet time. An exhortation that God placed on my heart as I was walking into the studio. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, we have Roger. He's listening in Modesto, California. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. And you know what? Just so your listeners know, the acronyms that you have are just amazing. Your doctrine, MAPS, feet, yoga, meals, just to name a few. And I've actually memorized them, and they have come in handy when it comes to witnessing or just encouraging others or even myself. So it's an awesome tool.
You just made my day. I mean, you just pulled that off the top of your head. That's incredible.
Yeah, and they're amazing, and I just praise the Lord that He has given you a mind like He has to help equip believers such as myself. I just have a question as it pertains to John chapter 16, verse 7, when Jesus says, if I don't go away, then the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, cannot come to you, but if I go, then I will send Him to you. And usually that's cross-referenced, like with Acts chapter 2, of course. And so, growing up in church, you always think, okay, well, Jesus was here, and then when He ascended, then the Holy Spirit was sent. But when you read in the New Testament, of course, you see the Holy Spirit was very active in other lives, like Simeon, John the Baptist, so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering, what did Jesus mean by that when He said that that when he goes, he'll send the Holy Spirit.
Sure. I like all of what you have said. If you continue reading on there, what John 16 tells us is that Jesus Christ is going to send the Comforter, and when he does, then the Spirit of truth will guide his disciples into all truth. So Jesus here is saying to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you without a guide. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and will lead you precisely as I have led you when I was physically with you, so that you could touch me, feel me, talk to me, etc. So this is what is going on here. And remember, what you said at the very beginning is important, instructional for all of us to grasp. When we talk about the Holy Spirit coming, this is language that is a heavenly condescension. So if, for example, we say, God is in my life, or Jesus is in my heart, or the Holy Spirit is in me, does it mean that everyone simultaneously has a little piece of God in them? Well, of course not. What the Bible is communicating is something far more precious. In other words, to say that the Holy Spirit is in you is not to point out where the Holy Spirit is physically located, but rather to acknowledge that you have come into an intimate personal relationship with him through faith and repentance. And so the preposition in is not locational, but relational. Jesus says, the Father is in me, I am in the Father. He's not speaking of physical location, of course, but intimacy of relationship. And this is the kind of thing that Jesus is communicating to his disciples, the intimacy of relationship that they are going to experience with the Spirit of all truth.
You know what, that really clears it up. So when he says, when he's talking about sending, he's more talking about the relationship that the Holy Spirit will have with the disciples once Jesus has ascended and is no longer physically with them.
Yes, he is trying to explain to them that they're not going to be left as orphans. Now, the other thing that's interesting in all of this, on the one hand, it's not as though the Holy Spirit isn't there already. On the other hand, when Jesus leaves, it's not as though he's going far, far away, because Jesus is going to transcend time and space as the God-man. But saying that he's transcending time and space simply means that he's now in another dimension, but he is as near to us in that dimension as the very flesh upon our bones. The only thing is, there's a veil that separates his presence, as it were. And so when that veil one day is removed, we'll see that Jesus didn't come from some distant planet, but he was there all along. But Jesus is trying to communicate this to his disciples so that they understand that God is not forsaking them because Jesus is leaving, but God will be not only with them, but will be actively present in them so that they can transform the world, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
So would you say then that also the Holy Spirit's relationship as it pertains to Jesus Christ, the man, just the human aspect of him, that the Spirit was the one that, how do I word this? At some point, I'm assuming in Jesus' life, Jesus came to the realization of who he was, or he either just knew it from the time he came from the womb. But, I mean, obviously, we see in Luke where he says, I'm doing my Father's business. And so, was it the Holy Spirit, you would say, that does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I kind of get where you're going with that. I mean, you have to remember that Jesus in the incarnation is one person with two natures. And as pertaining to his human nature, yes, he is guided by the Spirit, very much like his disciples are guided by the Spirit. But remember that in the incarnation, though Jesus voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity, he was not divested of a single attribute of deity. So it oftentimes makes a big difference what you are reading in the text, whether it pertains to Jesus speaking from the perspective of his humanity or Jesus speaking as God. So, for example, Jesus, speaking from the perspective of his humanity, did not know the exact timing of his coming in judgment on Jerusalem. However, from the perspective of his divinity, he knew it to the millisecond. So he gave a prophecy from the perspective of his humanity, and again, that prophecy demonstrates who he is. He gave a prophecy, but that prophecy, in terms of understanding the minute details of that prophecy, would be understood from Jesus as God, and not necessarily from the perspective of humanity, and even Jesus Christ in his humanity, because again, the prerogatives of divinity are there veiled.
Amen. All right, well, thank you so much. Once again, you cleared so much up for me, and I appreciate it. God bless you and CRI.
Thank you so much. Be right back with more.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that you can become a member of the Bible Answer Man support team. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And when you do, I'll send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. You can join the Bible Answer Man support team in an effective way online. It's safe. It's efficient. You can go to equip.org or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're always standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Our mailing address, you might want to jot that down as well, is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you desire to become a Bible Answer Man support team member via the mail, you need to indicate that so that someone can contact you in that regard. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gene in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hi, Gene.
Yes, hello. I want you to know, my brother, that I sincerely appreciate your knowledge and your way of communicating to others that knowledge. And I have a question for you, and I'm not going to get into numbers. You already know all that I'm going to present if I were to get into numbers. And so, but I'm concerned about the original autographs. Now, I believe that the Word of God is inspired. I believe the Holy Spirit led men to write the Scriptures as God wanted them. They're verbally inspired. But I believe the original autographs have undergone some deterioration through the centuries. And one of the words, my brother, is the word church. Now, I've used the word church for 65 years in sermons and writings. But now I'm convinced that when I say the word church, people think of a building. We think in word pictures, and so I think that when I say church, automatically they see a building. Now, I'm trying to write so that I can use that word ecclesia in a translation as the word assembly. But I find that there are many people who believe that the KJV is without error, and that it is God's word, and they'll defend it with their blood, and I admire them for that. But I still think that the word assembly is a better word, and when I use that word, people withdraw and think that I'm attacking the King James Version. I'm not really doing that. I'm just seeking for you to help me how to get across to them that I accept the KJV, but I believe the original autograph have the word assembly, and the word is better used, ecclesia is better used as the word assembly.
Yeah, and I think that you're making a very good point. The word ecclesia is very, very useful because, as you correctly point out, the word church has taken on a decidedly connotative meaning. Properly understood, the church is not, again, as you allude, an institution, but it's a relational organism in which each member belongs to all the others. This is how Paul defines it. So it's a glorious, organic, corporate expression of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As each member of the body serves a vital function within the whole, then peace will invade our beings and we'll finally realize what it means to be home in the body. So I think you're making a very good point. Let me add one thing to it, however. There's nothing that tells us in any way that the KJV is a superior translation over other translations that are extant today. For example, the New King James Version utilizes the best that is available in terms of the copies, the manuscript copies that are available, the oldest, the most reliable manuscript copies that are available today. So I think there are many wonderful translations there. So I don't think that's the real point. And I think you've also alluded correctly to the notion that there are KJV-only advocates who think that in some way the KJV is an autograph and it's hot off the plate straight down from Mount Sinai. And therefore, if you don't use the exact verbiage that's given in the KJV, you're in error. And quite frankly, it is they that are in error. So I agree with your points. I think those points are well taken. And I appreciate the fact that you want to make the distinction between that which is connotative and that which is denotative. Because words take on the barnacles of time and then they lose their meaning, and you're trying to add a corrective to that, and I think correctly so.
But I find that when I do that, people look at me rather strange, and I've lost some friends because in some of my little studies I do, I've used the word assembly and tried to explain the numbers and point out that the word assembly better carries the meaning of what the Lord meant by his, what we call, quote, church, unquote.
Well, you've been at it for a long time, as you indicated in the prologue to the question. So if people want to leave because you are explaining something meaningful to them, you realize, you know, the best I can do is do what I do with gentleness and with respect, and then allow God to, you know, give the increase in the ministry wherever he sees fit.
Okay. Now, that's my point. I really believe God is leading me in this direction of trying to clarify, you know, the actual meaning of the word, and it would mean assembly. And that would, as you say, that would connotate the idea, hey, this is a congregation.
Sure, yeah. The church is not an institution. It's a relational organism, and I think that's what you're pointing out, and I think correctly. So nice talking to you. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to John in Asheboro, Missouri. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I just wanted to ask what you thought about the fourth commandment. What exactly does keep the Sabbath day holy mean for Christians?
Well, I think the most significant issue for Christians is a recognition of the rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave. And that is ultimately what we celebrate every single week. When we set aside a day, we are celebrating the rest we have in Jesus Christ. As God rested, in a sense, we are resting too, because Christ has rescued us from the bondage of the law. And therefore, we're not anymore bound to the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law, because Christ has become a curse for us. And thus, we don't have to adhere to the Mosaic law that says anyone who does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. The Sabbath, as Scripture makes plain, was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. I've written about this in various places and talked about it many times on the show. If you want my entry on it, I have an entry on this question in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Eugene next, listening in New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. Why won't Jehovah's Witnesses take blood transfusions?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good question, because they are always in a state of flux. And so they think that somehow or other this has to do with eating blood. And therefore, they use this as a way of non-violation of that particular command. But of course, that's nonsense. The Jehovah's Witnesses have been barred from celebrating Christmas holidays, from celebrating birthdays, from celebrating Thanksgiving, from celebrating Good Friday. But more troubling than that is the regulations that they have regarding vaccinations, regarding organ transplants, and then what you're pointing out regarding blood transfusions. Now, here's what happened. It's kind of interesting, and I think it kind of, in the end, explains what's going on, a transition always. For example, in 1931, the Jehovah's Witnesses were instructed to refuse vaccinations. But by 1952, 2 years after I was born, that regulation was rescinded. In 1967, organ transplants were ruled what they called a forbidden form of cannibalism. By 1980, that edict was erased. In 1909, that's when they produced this prohibition against blood transfusions. And no doubt that soon will become a relic of the past as well. In the meantime, however, tens of thousands have not only been ravished spiritually by the Watchtower Society, but they have paid the ultimate physical price as well. So ultimately, where do these edicts come from? They come from a misunderstanding of the scripture and a failure to recognize that the civil and ceremonial laws have been supplanted by the reality of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Thanks so much, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it, Eugene. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much for your support of the Christian Research Institute, prayerfully, financially. It makes a difference so our voice can continue reaching people around the world. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.